And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, you know, this has been a week that has been marked by the fact that every one of the wonderful deals, or one of the every one of the areas where Trump promised wonderful deals, came crashing down without him being able to have made a single deal. And with, to the extent he had any plans, the plans being completely wiped out by life, which of course he was claiming he could master. So this ignorant man, incompetent strategist, who's managed to sell himself to a group of people, a plurality of people who watch television but don't have any useful information to evaluate what they see, is now exposed to his own people as not being able to do what he said he could do in the first day that he would take office. The war in Europe and the Ukraine is no closer to being solved, settled on anybody's terms. Not the Americans' terms, not the Russians' terms. The Gaza situation hasn't changed one damn bit, despite the fact that he wants to turn it into a spa. And now we have the Iran situation threatening to become a nuclear war. You know, who knows? And threatening to split his own coalition, because a lot of these people in the MAGA coalition were convinced by him that the Americans should never be involved in any kind of war abroad, certainly not in Iran. No deals? What do you think?
No deals. I mean, you outlined. Remember, he was going to solve the war in Ukraine on this day one. Actually, he said even before he got to the White House, he was going to do it.
Even though that's illegal, since only the president and no private individual can make a foreign policy.
But that's never
the law's not that important.
No, the law's not important. And then, of course, in the Mideast, things have fallen apart. You know, he's always good at blaming Joe Biden for this, and he has that propensity to bloviate about things hypothetical that would have happened had he been in charge of stuff.
The Middle East, the Iran business is especially aggravating, because after carrying the ball for opposing Obama's deal with Iran, his proposal for Witkoff is Obama's deal with Iran.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Essentially, because it didn't get rid of all of their nuclear capability.
But it produced a way to control the development of a new nuclear power. There's only two ways of doing it. You can either do it by war, or you can do it by diplomacy. And if you do it by diplomacy, you have to realize that each side gets something. That's how diplomacy works. The only way
that's not how he works. He wants it all.
He wants unconditional surrender.
Right. Now, don't forget there were other deals. Remember, he was going to have 90 deals in 90 days with all the tariff stuff.
Yeah, he doesn't have one.
He claimed to have a deal with the UK, but it really is only a framework. And then he claimed to have a deal with China. Again, the devil's in the details, and it turns out it's just a framework. Although he lowered the tariffs to, 45% or something like that. Before we started, China was supplying the rare earth minerals without tariffs.
And by the way, China just proposed, Xi Jinping just proposed this week, to all of the African nations, bilateral trade without any tariff.
Yeah.
These are the nations that that Trump just put 25% tariffs on.
Because we obviously, are running a trade deficit with cocoa and with coffee and bananas. And, we discussed that last week.
Right.
I also want to mention that the thing that the Project 2025 is trying to do, which is the Republican, the great Republican goal for the last 50 years or so, or maybe 80 years or so, is to get rid of the New Deal. Remember, that was a deal with the American public that we are going to help people. It changed the outlook of what government can or should do. Up to then, it was mostly this American idea, you know, the cowboy, the self-sufficient, everybody's on their own type of thing.
Well, not the cowboy so much as the robber baron.
Well, that it certainly morphed into that at the, you know, when the Industrial Revolution started. But what the New Deal said is government can make your lives better. It can make things easier for you. And that is an anathema to this certain philosophy that's dominated the Republican Party for decades. They seem to feel, and we were talking about it, you mentioned it, that suffering or difficulty breeds character, that people should suffer, or if they do suffer, it's no big deal because it's good for them to have to struggle.
Right.
Of course, that doesn't acknowledge that a lot of people can't overcome those struggles and fall behind and are subjected to a life of abject poverty or just kind of existence. And then they became, you know, wards of the state, relying on things like welfare or Medicaid or stuff like that, which they also want to get rid of. And, you know, you're back to the Joni Ernst thing. Well, you're going to die anyway. Do you remember years ago, one of the senators, I think, brought that up when they were debating the Affordable Care Act and said something to the effect that the Republican plan is die. Yeah, you're going to die.
That was Bernie Sanders said that. That was his line.
He was castigated for that. Remember the backlash and the whole thing. And now the Republicans are saying it out loud again on this thing. So,
these Trump people make no bones about the fact that the vision of America that they want to establish and bring back to life is the vision of an America that existed before the New Deal. They say that. Trump talks about McKinley as the perfect president, as the era that he wants to recreate. What's that era? Child labor, women don't have the vote, no unions, no union rights, adulterated food. Corporations could do anything they wished to do to cheat and steal. That's the era. Polluted water, polluted air. That's their deal. That's what they are aiming for. That's what they think is a great America. Nobody who works for a living, or who's not an apologist for, you know, Ponzi scheme guys, could possibly think that that's a good America or a good any country. But that's what they want. When they say no deals, they mean no new deals.
Right. Well, I could, you know, FDR was followed by Truman, who had the fair deal. But I guess we could label the Trump idea as the bad deal. You know,
yeah.
I talk about regressives, but they're the bad dealers. You know, and that's what. But the thing is, they tried to sell bad deals as good. The con man type of thing. This is good for you. And, you know, they package it. You've got a Speaker of the House who packages everything as being religiously based, and that this is what God wants for you to have us cut out all these things that make your life either easier or better.
You know, this fellow Johnson, Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, is really a loathsome individual. He has a meek and mild demeanor. When you look at him, you're not seeing somebody that looks as, you know, nasty as Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, but he's venal.
He's venal. But he said the other day that Gavin Newsom should be tarred and feathered. Now, this guy is from a southern state. Everybody in America who, well, I shouldn't say everybody in America, most older Americans know that tarring and feathering was the method of lynch law. That's how it arose. That's lynch law.
Keeping blacks in line.
Keeping blacks in line and literally tarring, pouring hot tar on them and feathers so it couldn't be taken off. Torture. That's what he proposes as that's the image that he conjures up. This is the man who's third in line to be the American president, tarring and feathering.
Well, yeah, he's the man who says that his religion guides him in every way and everything that he does.
Right.
And I was just waiting. And
that may be true. We don't know anything about his religion.
Well, he claims to be a Christian. It's certainly a different Christianity than a lot of us are familiar with. I was just waiting for somebody in the press to ask him, you know, can you quote somewhere from the New Testament where Jesus talked about tarring and feathering people?
Right.
Which would, of course, gotten such a rebuke that person would probably get banned from the press corps.
Exactly. Right.
That's how they handle things.
Right.
We don't want to be asked the tough questions.
One thing I've got to give credit to the MAGA people, Russell Vought. He's not a bad strategist. He's a much better strategist than Trump could ever hope to be.
He's just a dangerous strategist.
His strategy is for creating an unequal, horrible world. But what he realizes is, if you want to get rid of the programs of the New Deal, you don't have to get rid of the programs. You don't have to dissolve the agency. If you can, okay, fantastic, wonderful. But if it's difficult to do that, there's a workaround. Fire everybody. If you fire everybody who has a job at the Department of Education, there's nobody that can administer the Department of Education programs. And there's nothing anybody can do about it because nobody doubts that the president or the secretary can hire and fire people who work for him. So just fire them. And if you fire them, then there's no education department or there's no medical department. Kennedy fired everybody who was a vaccine specialist. He's not against vaccines. It just doesn't happen to be anybody who knows anything about it working for the HHS at this moment.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that. There were 17 people. Remember, a while ago, he called off the meeting of the vaccine specialists who were going to decide which flu strain was likely to emerge this fall and winter so that they could prepare for it in the vaccines.
Which is the standard operating procedure every year, forever.
Right. And, well, ever since they've had flu vaccines.
Well, okay, that's forever. Yeah.
Forever. Certainly in our lifetimes. But but there were 17 people. He fired them. And then he's now replaced them with 8 people, most of whom are either anti-vax or vaccine skeptics.
Right.
It's a game that he plays. He says, I'm not against vaccines. I just want to make sure the vaccines are safe for use. But what he doesn't say is his definition of safe for use is so restricted that no vaccine will fit the bill. In other words, you can't have adverse, some people will always have an adverse reaction
to
a vaccine.
That's exactly right. There's always an exception to any generalization. There's always an exception to every rule. There's always an exception, period.
Yeah.
99% is the result that you get. Well, there's 1% that you didn't get that result. If you focus on the 1% to the exclusion of the 99%, you're not telling the truth. You're citing a statistic, but that statistic, if you claim that's the 1 equals the 99, that's false.
Right. And they want to keep the focus on that. They don't want to keep the focus on, well, why is it we don't have smallpox anymore? Why is it that nobody gets polio?
Yeah.
Why, why is it that measles were essentially eradicated until people stopped taking vaccines?
Right.
And now when people do get the measles or whooping cough, which is another thing that's been on the rise of late, that almost all of those people are unvaccinated.
Right.
And now, now they're questioning the developments of the COVID vaccine, which is a different type of vaccine. It's an mRNA vaccine out there, and they're going to, they're going to question mRNA technology.
They're not going to. They are.
Right, and that's some of the people on that commission.
Yeah. And of course, most people don't have any idea what they're talking about.
Yeah,
well, all they hear is, "Oh, this is dangerous."
Right.
And to prove that it's dangerous, they cite statistics and studies. The studies don't exist. Or if the study does exist, it says the exact opposite of what they claim the study says. Or it's been debunked. That's right. That's exactly right. But just in the last week, 2 weeks ago, Kennedy cited a series of studies. And when the reporters who knew how to read these things looked into it, they discovered that the studies didn't say at all what Kennedy claimed that they said. Either he was pointing to studies that had never been done, had never been published, had never been peer-reviewed, or they came to conclusions directly opposite to what he claimed they had come to. So it was a lie. Well, it was a total lie.
Yeah.
But it was a lie filled with footnotes that nobody was ever going to look at, he thought.
As someone who reads briefs all the time and footnotes and briefs and cases that are cited, I've seen more than once a lawyer cite a case and it represent just the opposite, or there's a big exception to it. We have an ethic in our as lawyers that if you are taking a position and you cite a case in support of your position, but there's a case out there that takes the opposite position, you also have to cite that and either try to distinguish it or ask that it be overruled. But you have to show it to the judge. You just can't pretend it doesn't exist. But in RFK's case, one of their papers cited cases or cited studies that don't even exist.
Right.
They just made things up.
Right.
It was probably an AI generated thing because it came out so quickly. And I've seen that in there have been lawyers that have been caught, having briefs done by AI and not following up on what's in them.
But this practice of just making the evidence up goes across the board in the Trump administration.
Right.
After all, when they kidnapped this fellow in Maryland and shipped him off to El Salvador, alleging that he, despite the fact that there was a court order that said they shouldn't do it to this guy, that he was protected from that, Trump says, oh, no, he was a member of this Venezuelan gang. He became a member when he was living in New York State. He never lived in New York State. He has nothing to do with the Venezuelan gangs. Trump produced a photoshopped image of his hand in which MR-13, the name of the Venezuelan gang he allegedly belonged to, are shown on his hand. Everybody who looked at it who knows about photoshopping said that's not his hand. That's a photoshop that's made up. And they do it all the time.
This is what they're best at, is image.
This is the only thing they're good at.
The other thing they're good at is keeping their people away from the real story. Fox won't report certain things, or they pull away. You remember when the market was crashing after the Liberation Day, Fox Business took the ticker off from underneath their the show. You can't see what's happening. If you don't see it, it doesn't exist.
Well, Trump said when the COVID epidemic was on that the problem was that we were keeping statistics of how many COVID patients there were.
Right.
He made the point. He made the point seriously. If we didn't count, there would be fewer cases. Now, I mean, nobody said anything about that at the time, but he meant it. Getting back to my bugaboo about there's more than one way to skin a cat, and yes. Russell Vought has, and the MAGA strategist, not Trump, too stupid, too ignorant, not a sharp enough thinker to be able, very bad strategist, but the people who work for him know what they're doing. Getting back to the point that you don't have to kill the agency to kill the program, part of his bad budget, it's called One Big Beautiful Bill. It should be called One Bad Bill. The One Bad Bill, among the zillions of things on the 1,200 pages that are part of it, is one part that cuts the limit for student loans for graduate education to $150,000 max, especially for doctors, people getting training to be a doctor. But the fact is that 4 years of medical education at a public school costs $287,000 on average, and nearly $400,000 at a private school. So if you think that, if you know that you can't borrow more than $150,000, you can't apply to medical school. Medical school graduates leave with an average debt of $212,000. Well, what's the result? First of all, it means there's not going to be any doctors. There's going to be an enormous shortage of doctors. And that's exactly what's projected. It's projected that the number of doctors by 2037 is going to sink to 76.8 per 100,000 people, which means that 75 million Americans who currently live in areas where you can't get primary care is going to increase by 50%.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah. Well, if you can't borrow enough money to get educated, at least you won't be in debt for that much.
You won't be in debt, but there'll be no doctors. But
yeah.
So you don't have to kill Medicaid. All you have to do is make sure that nobody can get to be a doctor. What's the point of having insurance? Insurance is not medical care. Medical care is where a doctor takes care of you. Nurses take care of you. That's medical care. All the insurance does is pay for it. It's a way of paying for it.
Now you're back to, if you can't get medical care, you're more likely to die. And if you're more likely to die, you won't be in the system to take up the money that, you know, you're back to the journey.
That'll balance the budget for sure.
Yeah, you're back to Joni Ernst, you know.
You're back to Joni Ernst.
Right. Social Security, you know, you can't get it till you're 67. And if you die before that, it's all to the good for the Social Security fund, right?
Right. And the constant refrain from these Republicans, these MAGA types, and all Republicans, because even the non-MAGA Republicans, we can't afford it. We can't afford it, therefore we can't do it.
What they mean is that the rich can't afford to pay their fair share of taxes.
That's exactly right. Precisely. Because the country can afford it.
Yeah.
The country can afford it. This is a rich country.
Yeah. If you have progressive taxation.
Yeah.
But they want regressive taxation. Paul Krugman had an article this week, devastating, showing how this big, beautiful budget bill would be, who it benefits and who it hurts.
What he shows is that the benefit to the people who benefit is that over 10 years, their income and their wealth will increase by 25% over what it is now, and that's like the 0.1%, whereas everybody else, and especially the 80% who are below and at average wage, will sink by 20%. So in other words, the bill will automatically produce a greater disparity by 45% over what it is today.
Yeah, well, we're into the reverse Robin Hood.
Yeah, reverse. That's what he called it, right?
Yeah, that's what he called it.
That's what he called it.
Getting people to believe in it is the job of the propagandist in chief.
That is Trump's job. He doesn't have to be a strategist. He has to be a salesman.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. That's Donald Trump. That's his role here, being the front man on this. Now, it was interesting that there was a letter this weekend in the Scranton Times from a lady up in your neck of the woods, commenting about the ICE raid in Honesdale, the county seat of Wayne County up there in the farthest northeast corner of Pennsylvania. where they arrested someone who was working at the diner up there, one of the popular eating spots, someone who had been there for years and years and years, and how the people there were surprised. And she just said, you know, why are you surprised? This is what you voted for. And
that's right. It's not like the people did, not like Trump said he didn't say he was going to do this. He said he was going to do it.
But they all, and you're seeing this across the country, they all said, oh, well, I didn't mean it to affect me or for me to see this here. I meant it for those people.
The bad guys, the bad ones.
The bad ones. Which, by the way, they're not going after the hardened criminals. That's what sparked some of these protests. They're at Home Depot, where these folks are day laborers. They're getting jobs, or they're chasing people through farm fields. On that, you know, and it's the dichotomy that you know, the irony doesn't. You know, they talk about these people as being takers and living off us people, so to speak, and then they go out, they try to arrest people who are working for a living. Taking jobs that that no one else will take for the salaries that they're offering,
and they slander these people by saying they're criminals, and they first of all they're here illegally, therefore they're criminals, so they can't not be criminals. But that's a lie. That's when Stephen Miller and his followers say that, they're lying. It's not a crime to be in the United States. There's a law that says that if you want to have asylum in the United States, you can cross the border, appear at any border station, appear anywhere, and ask for asylum, and you're legally here. Whether or not you get the asylum is something to be adjudicated. But your presence in America at that moment and for every moment until it's adjudicated is legal. Being here without a valid visa is not a crime. Coming here because you crossed the Rio Grande is not a crime. Going across the river at any point, and not just at an immigration check-in point, is not a crime. The law says you have that right.
Well, you know, a lot of people that are here, quote-unquote, illegally, overstay their visas. Their students are, and I believe the country that had among the most, if not the most, people who overstayed their visas were Ireland, or Irish.
Right.
People who came here, you know, but of course, when ICE goes down the street, they don't see those people. They only see people who are darker skinned.
Well, that's all they really care about. Because
it's the image.
No, what they care about is promoting racism.
Yeah.
That's their true mission. This is a racist attack. It's a racist attack on everybody who's not a Nordic. We've seen it before. It was.
We
saw it in the 18th, in the 19th century. We saw it in the 20th century. We see it today, and it's by MAGA and all the MAGA grandfathers. They all did the same thing.
You see it with Pete Hegseth in the military.
Yeah. We didn't get a chance to talk about your Congressman Bresnahan, who promised to prevent any cuts to Medicaid and who is now lining up, making sure that there are cuts to Medicaid.
Well, but also,
we can't talk about it now because we have no more time.
Also, it's a public broadcasting. And your Congressman Dan Muser is in there too.
Yes. Probably the Republican candidate for governor against Josh Shapiro next time around. But that's for next week.
That's for next week.
See you next week if we're still here.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.